Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
This is the Best Hang Podcast featuring Max Kerman, Shane Cunningham, and I am Mike Bierman. Welcome to the Best Hang Podcast. I'm Mike. We got Max. We got Shane. Max, you're calling in from LA. Mm. What are you doing in LA? I see you have a haircut as well. What's going on?
A little haircut.
Looks good.
You know, taking meetings. You know, there's always stuff to be done down here. I think it went too much though.
Oh, okay. What's with your voice? You sound like Harvey Fierstein? What's that guy's name?
Is my voice
like, he talks like this.
Yeah, the man from Miss Doubtfire. Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah, he's also in the Independence Day.
Oh, okay. Is it that crackling?
Oh my God. Oh my God.
I wonder.
You're putting something on with your voice.
It's his LA voice.
Taking meetings. We did go to the Lakers game last night, and we went with Unzi and his partner.
I guarantee you that is literally only the second time Unzi's been to a Lakers game, and I bet you the first time was with me.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, he doesn't care about that. Yeah. We went Tim McAuliffe and lovely partner Jess and manager Ash was there. And Will Forte and his wife, Olivia.
You were with Will Forte?
Yeah, and the nut.
That's insane. You start with the Forte.
Wait a second. Okay, you're going to a Lakers game with a legitimate celebrity mm-hmm. and Will Forte. How are the seats? Because you got a big crew.
Well, it's a big crew. So our friend Luana, who had access to a suite, she said, you guys can come to the suite. So then... So what I got to do is it's Luana who's the one who hooked it up, and we're just friends with Luana. And Luana has
access. Shout out to her, she's great.
We love Luana. Luana is as nice as they come, and but I got to be the person to go to Will and Unzi and Tim, going, guys, got a suite. Anyone want to go to the Lakers game? No big deal. Food, drinks on me. Order whatever you want. But clearly, I'm not paying for any of it, right? This is some corporate account. So, sure.
How is a suite at a Lakers game? I'm curious. Is it very much like at a Raptors game, or is it a different experience?
Same idea. You know, there's a dessert cart that comes by. You know, they brought by three bottles of liquor. We just made our own drinks. There's chicken tenders, hot dogs. You know, the whole thing.
Yeah. How are people responding to Will?
Everyone's pretty chill. You know, there's a few other people that came in. Our friend Matt Thibault, lovely fella. He came by. But, you know, we were kind of sitting in the seats. You know, in a suite, there's like a few rows, and then there's the mingling in the back. So we're sitting down all chatting. It was lovely.
Also, like, I imagine at a Lakers game, you know, and no offense to Will Forte, who's had an amazing career and is a famous mm-hmm. person, there are a lot of famous people at a Lakers mm-hmm. game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? LA, like, Will Forte might only be like the sixth most famous person at any given Lakers game if you got like Chris Rock courtside or Ben Affleck there with his kid. You know what I mean?
But yeah, still, Will, six out of, you know, 20,000. That's a lot.
Yeah, well, that's great. Yeah. It's amazing. It's amazing.
Will, I don't think I'm speaking out of turn to say this, but Will told a very funny SNL story last night where he basically got to go to like some like Critics' Choice something or other, and he got to fly on Lauren's plane. And on the plane, he didn't know who else would be on the plane. And it was him and Fred Armisen shows up. He's like, okay, great. I know Fred. And the fourth is Steve Martin. He's like so nervous. And then finally, like in the middle of the flight from New York to LA, Lauren like goes to the bathroom. And so it's just like Steve Martin there. He's like, so Steve, I just wanted to add a couple questions about The Jerk. And Steve's like, okay. He's like,
classic movie.
How was it? He's just like so nervous about it. But anyway, I only bring that up because, you know, he probably doesn't see himself as a huge star necessarily. Right. So, he's just a normal guy, but very, very funny. But anyway, awesome crew, and the Lakers won. And, that was just sort of a last minute thing. That's what happens. You know, it's like you go down here and you have a few things that you actually need to do, but then just by being around, you know, stuff happens. And like, you know, just I want to give a shout out to our friend Monique. She's a friend that, you know, works at Live Nation, formerly in Toronto, now in LA. She has a place in Santa Monica. I was like, Monique, I'm staying on your couch. I kind of like bullied my way into the accommodations. And she's like, yeah, sure, stay on my couch. And then Birchall is here and he has to be down here for work. So I'm like, hey, Birchall, I'm going to stay in your room tonight. He's like, okay. So, you know, that's sort of the way I'm rolling.
So your background right now looks like the hotel room. Mm-hmm. Is Birchall laying down on one of those two beds back there?
No, he's at the office right now. He's at the TikTok office.
Oh, I see.
But it's
I
great. Gotcha. It's excellent. Gotcha. It kind of works for me.
Speaking of flying, I just got a call from my brother who is in Sacramento. He was in Sacramento last night with the Raptors. As we know, people listen to this podcast, my brother works with the Raptors, travels with them. So they have this whole like setup where when you get to the airport, you know, he throws his keys at, the valet, all the players. I mean, it's a good setup for anyone that travels with the team. You go to like the private flight, I guess, part of the Pearson Airport. And then somebody takes your car and they bring it to another terminal. When you get back from the road trip, they're gone for, I think, a 12-day road trip. The valets bring all the players and staff's cars. So my brother's part of this service, whatever. He gets a call, I guess, when he's in Sacramento. And it turns out the valet, while bringing the car to the other terminal, completely totaled his car, got in some sort of accident, and the car's a write-off. And so my brother, I just got a call. I literally was at, so I was with Winona at the mall, and I got a call from Greg. He's like, hey, what are you doing in the next little bit? He tells the whole story. I'm like, oh my God. He's like, I need someone to grab my hockey bag out of the car and all this shit because the insurance company's coming to tow the car away and take it and make their assessment. So I'm like, yeah, absolutely. I'll go out. I'll do it. So I got to figure out at some point, I got to go to Pearson in the next 24, 48 hours and grab a bunch of shit out of my brother's car because of this sort of random accident that the valet got.
Don't go till like 10 o'clock or something. Like, don't do it anytime between the hours of 6 a.m. and 9 p.m. You're asking for trouble. So just go. It'll be way faster if you're able to do it.
And I just got to say, something just crossed my mind. I feel like I shifted to my story about my brother's car. And I moved on from the Will Forte thing. And I'm looking at Shane looking at me right now. And I feel like I moved on too quick because I feel like some questions need to be asked.
No,
and
I'm just wondering, mic back to Shane. Is the valet driver okay? Because it sounds like quite the accident. Like,
yeah. No. He's good. Everybody's fine.
Oh, and by the way, yes. He's dead now. Anyway, how's Will Forte? Yeah. Sorry. Will Forte questions.
This is the thing I was going to circle back to. Max, we've talked about this on the podcast. Did you discuss the sketch show with Will Forte?
We definitely brought it up. We had drinks before and we were talking about how we're in the middle of it. It's nice having Unzi there because obviously Unzi, writer, director, kind of giving it a little more context, because if it's just I'm with my buddies Mike and Shane doing the show with Mark, like he wouldn't necessarily know who those people are, but he knows Unzi. Unzi's sitting right there, so it's nice.
You didn't call up my Instagram and show Will or anything like that?
Check him out. This is what he looks like. He has a kid named Winona. Really cute, huh? Yeah, I didn't do that. We were talking about going through the process of giving notes and all the conversations with like the execs and all that stuff, because that's something that they have to do all the time, right? Like they're constantly, you know, having those conversations with the producers, you know, the network, all that stuff. So I could talk like I know what I'm talking about now because I've done a version of that with our show.
Well, what were his thoughts on Bruce? I mean, I like this. We're being very open. Mm-hmm. Our listeners are getting an inside look into this, and maybe you don't know because we haven't talked about it, but I think we can share this, that Bruce McCullough, legendary sort of
comedic mind from the Kids in the Hall, who we grew up loving. He is a huge sort of part of our show now. You know, he's an executive producer, and, you know, he's helping sort of put everything together, and he's got a big creative voice within the process. And obviously he knows Will Forte. Did you tell him that Bruce is involved?
Of course I did. I mean, like, down here, it's like you say, because it's hilarious. You know, you're having these meetings, hangs. Yeah, I'm working on a sketch comedy show. Yeah, I'm an EP on it. Bruce McCullough, you know, Kids in the Hall. Yeah, he's an EP on it. And then people's eyes really perk up. So it really kind of gives the whole thing that much more legitimacy. And and also, though, functionally, like, Bruce is an amazing mentor. We should just give a huge shout out, because he's been kind of like our father figure. Does he kind of feel like our dad right now?
I call him dad. Like, dad, yes.
I hugged him like he was my dad. Well, we did go to one of his show at the Rivoli a couple weeks ago. We actually didn't talk about it on this podcast, but we had a night out. Mm. We went and saw Bruce's sort of his one-man show that he does, which is amazing. Ash and I, we've been to a version of that show. He's toured a version of that show for like years, and there's a bunch of new stuff in the new show. And I just saw he's actually playing Chicago and Boston. I was wondering if he was doing Boston while we were there for Brody's bachelor party. But yeah, anyway, that show was amazing. It was great to be there and then hang out with him afterward and sort of talk about the sketch show, talk about his show, like the one that he just performed, because he had so much brilliant stuff in it. But yeah, he's awesome. He's like the best.
Yeah. I don't know if there's that much more to say about our hang last night with Tim and
Unseen. You didn't like pull out your phone and give like Will an earbud and make him watch sketches
yeah, during the Lakers game in the suite. I know it's like the fourth quarter.
Like LeBron's got the ball. It's like, no, Will, check this one out. This sketch is really subversive.
No, I didn't, but I will. I'll get there. Believe me, I'll get there. Shane, how you holding up, man?
Yeah, good. I don't know. Time's going by. Life is weird. I don't know. Like January, February are weird enough as months in Canada, especially. But working on the show is just like, oh my God, I've been doing this for feels like 3 years now. Like I was telling Mike the other day, we had a phone call when I wrote the Jordan sketch, the Michael Jordan sketch, which is the first sketch that we wrote for the show. I was 35 years old.
Well, how old are you now?
About to be 40.
42.
To be 40. So that is like,
wait, Max, what did you just say?
Is it 42?
42.
You guessed.
Is this
higher.
A roast? Are you joking, Max?
I'm just kidding.
Well, the joke's got to be funny.
Not because you look 42. You're just, I knew the point you were making was that a lot of years have passed. So I was like, it's been 7 years. Yeah.
But it's crazy. Like the pandemic started, I was 36. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to be 40. Not that it's torturous to be in. It's just you want to either birth it or you don't. It's been long.
You're in that zone where you're like, let's get on with it.
Nobody wants to be next pregnant project. For
like,
4 years.
I don't even care about these sketches anymore. Do you care about the sketches anymore? You're like, I don't give a fuck.
I've seen every iteration. I know.
No, totally. Well, it's kind of like me with songs too. Like there's a window of time where I'm so incredibly excited about a new song that I think has potential. And that window can last, you know, somewhere between like, from its inception for like 6 weeks. And then I'm like, all right, let's just get it out, because I'm just not going to give a fuck about it. If we were like, let's hold this record, you know, for 18 months from now, I'm just like, I'm not going to care about it then. Like on to the next thing. Let's go. By the way, I do want to say two quick things. One, I know it sounds like I get to do like fun stuff all the time, which I do very much. But I was thinking about my travel, because I went to Vancouver this weekend because I got to see my old roommate, Chris Dickinson, Dutchie, and Dan Hamilton joined me. I got to catch up with a bunch of people. I saw Sarah from Tegan and Sarah. You know, it's just nice seeing old friends. And the reason why I'm able to do it is I still travel very nimbly. Like we stayed in Chris's studio apartment, Dan, Chris, and I. And like I was on a blow up mattress and, you know, Dan was sleeping on the couch. But we had the greatest time ever. So if anybody like thinks I'm just, you know, big shot in my way around the world, it's mostly sleeping on people's couches, which I am very happy to do. So that's number one.
So when you're not sitting courtside, hanging with celebs or being in a private box, you're on a piece of shit mattress.
I'm slumming it.
Rest easy, folks. I'm having the worst sleeps ever. But your awake time is pretty good, right? When you're awake, it's good. It's just sleepy time's a little rough.
Yeah, sleepy time, hit or miss. Sometimes it could be good. Like tonight, last night was pretty good. Actually, I will say Monique's couch, amazing. It's actually, I had a better sleep on Monique's couch than in the hotel bed for some reason. I don't know why, but I had an amazing sleep. Actually, speaking of that, guys, speaking of Monique's couch, I experienced a first in my life 2 nights ago. 2 a.m, I'm sleeping like a baby in Santa Monica.
Picture it.
Earthquake.
Oh, no.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I just, we're on the fourth floor. So, because it's in a condo building.
Yeah.
And the thing just starts shaking. I'm like, and I'm like half asleep. So I'm like kind of confused. And I'm like, am I on a plane right now? Is this turbulence or something? And that's kind of where my brain went. And I was like, no, I'm in California. The apartment is shaking. It's an earthquake. It's just a fucking earthquake. And you know how long it's going to last. You don't know if it's going to get any worse. So then Monique kind of gets out of bed. She's like, what's going on? And then Ash is also down here. And she is in the other room. And she gets out. And she's like, what's going on? And so we're all kind of half asleep. And then it stops. And then about, I don't know, a minute later, there's the aftershock. So then you hear it, like it shakes again. So I think the earthquake itself was like a 4.7. 4.7, and the aftershocks were like a 3.2 or something like that.
So they're talking like a, like an earthquake.
Yeah, this is Richter scale.
Fucking Richter scale.
So is Richter, Richter scale out of 10? I would assume it is.
I think so. I don't know. I have no idea. It sounds cool to say a 4.7 though, right?
Yeah.
I think it was like a 4.7. I'm like, oh, this guy's like fucking.
Well, I'm glad you're okay.
On Twitter, and then you see like who else is like, is it just me? Am I imagining this? And then like Chance the Rapper is like, oh my god, earthquake. How should, or, you know, Zed's dead. It's like, oh my god, earthquake. So yeah, it was pretty, you know, so I do think about when I'm down here, I'm like, am I going to be around for one of those big ones? That was a small one, but it was interesting.
The Richter scale goes from 1 to 9, it would seem.
Wow. Makes 4.7 seem even bigger.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was legit. Did your life flash before your eyes?
No, not really. I was too tired for that. You know, when you're so tired, you're like, I could die now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, when I'm tired.
But another thing that's happened, I don't know if I mentioned this to you guys in real life or on the podcast, but the band was rehearsing last week. Did I tell you where we rehearsed?
Oh, with Bare Naked Ladies. The pod. The band,
did I talk
of course.
To you? Yeah.
I thought you were going to say, and also you rehearsed at the Bare Naked Ladies.
The band.
Yeah, we rehearsed with Bare Naked Ladies around. It's sort of what we do now.
It's how we get inspired. Yeah. You got to stay inspired after a decade inspired. In the band.
No, with the redheaded guy at the band. Nudies.
Yeah, Jim. Jim. Jim's a neighbor. And he, the band, our kids were looking for a place to rehearse. And we were like, oh, what are we going to do? And most rehearsal spaces are total dumps, right? They're windowless dumps surrounded by metal bands. Mm-hmm. That's what they are. I was like, I don't want to do that. That sounds terrible. So I got in touch with my neighbor, Jim. And he has a great space in his backyard. He has like a coach house. And he said, yeah, just use it. You know, I'll work in the other room. And then like by the end of the week, we're hanging out with Jim. We're eating lunch with Jim. Jim's helping record our demos.
And he has a big, beautiful house and recording space, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jim's on the phone with his friends saying, I can't fucking get rid of the Arkells.
Kind of, honestly. That's probably
and didn't Nick Nurse come over and have a jam session with you too? Or is that secret?
I thought, no, that's fine. I mean, Nick, I thought, was just a little stressed out. If you've been watching Raptors games, it's like, oh man, he needs to get his mind off. This has been a tough year. So I was like, Nick, let's jam. He's like, I could really use that. That'd be awesome. So then I got together a super band. So Derek Hoffman, who's in our basketball group chat, who's Arkell's producer, he played drums. Childhood friend Ben Whiteley played guitar. Tony and Arkells played keys. Nick also played keys. Tom Moffitt from the Northern Soul Horns, he played trumpet. Jim Cregan, Bare Naked Ladies on the bass. We had a little jam. We played the Beatles. We played the band. We played Prince. It was awesome.
But you had a shit sleep that night, right? For the people who are jealous of this instance. You were tossing and turning. Bed of nails.
And Jim isn't much of a sports fan. I don't know if you can tell this story, but somebody told me this. I liked this story. I don't know if you can tell it, but it's a funny little element.
So basically, you know, Jim is just such a...
He's a music guy.
And as sweet as they come, really encouraging too. I got to say, like this last week working there, Jim's sort of around and we're kind of just like showing him new ideas. And he's just like so pumped on it and just like very encouraging of what we're trying to do with Arkells. So when I was like, hey, do you want to jam with the coach of the Raptors? He's like, yeah, sure, whatever. Like, I'd love to have everybody by. And just before I get there first, people are starting to arrive. And I said, oh, Jim, I think you might know Ben Whiteley. He's also a bassist and also from the neighborhood. You probably know him. Oh, yeah, I think I know Ben. Anyway, the next person to walk through the door is Nick Nurse. Jim just thinks this is Ben. So he goes, hey, Ben, good to meet you. And then Nick goes, Nick Nurse, good to meet you. And Jim's like, oh, hello. It was very adorable. Yeah. It was good.
Did Nick recognize Jim from Bare Naked Ladies?
I don't know. I'm not sure. But that's not what it's about.
It was like, I was told there was going to be Bare Naked Ladies here.
We'll get that joke right one of these days. Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to do it 3 more times before this pod is over.
But yeah, anyway, it turns out to be happy as a musician, all you need to do is be neighbors with a guy who's done fabulously well and has a beautiful coach house rehearsal space.
I like this new way of speaking you've adopted in that last thing.
Well, at least he's abandoned Harvey Fierstein.
That's not how he sounded off the top, was it?
You're a man of many voices, and they're all great.
He's like Michael Winslow from Police Academy, which is a very modern reference.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
All right, guys, I actually have a little assignment for us. I've talked to Mike about this. I haven't talked to you, Shane, about it yet. But I think it'd be good to talk about it on the air right now. Work through it in real time.
I feel like I'm going to get in trouble right now.
No,
you're trying
no,
to
no,
word
no.
it in a way to...
No, okay. You're not going to get in trouble at all.
Okay.
Okay. So, Shane, all you need to know is the parameters of this thing we need to create. Okay? It's 30 seconds long. And I need you to react in real time, okay? This is a bit of an improv game. And then we'll workshop it afterward.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
Okay. Mike, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. And I'm going to start. And scene. All right, guys. Do any of those ad break commercials ever work? Like, have you ever started listening to one podcast because you heard an ad in another podcast?
Almost.
Which one?
I was listening to... this is important. And they had one about The Office or something. And I almost listened, but then
but I didn't.
No, I didn't. Close call though.
Yeah, guys, research shows people have already stopped listening to this ad.
Oh, wow. Okay, so we have no chance. And again, anybody listen to The Best Hang?
No, they're gone.
We tried. Scene.
What are we doing?
The Best Hang.
Scene. That's pretty good. Can we send this in? Because Shane, what we need to do is Acast, our distributor, is like, we need trailers. Mm. And I was trying to think of like, what is the best ad to put in for The Best Hang?
And I think this banter is it.
I think the banter, that 30 seconds of banter that we just pulled off, I think that's it. It's like no one listens. And then like, how would we refine this idea? You guys are ad guys. Mike, I talked to you about this. The premise is maybe kind of interesting. I haven't heard this style of ad before of like, no, this doesn't work. This absolutely doesn't work. What do you think?
I don't know. It might be, geez, it's because I'm not saying that wasn't funny, but I don't know if that was necessarily funny enough to be like, I have to listen to
this. No, I'm not saying that's it. But I think the premise of me going, guys, have you ever listened to one ad that's convinced you to listen to another podcast? Like starting there.
You think the power of reverse psychology.
Yeah, reverse psychology.
Is what
the anti-ad.
Anti-ad.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, how would we wrap that up?
I think it's the idea. I think it's that, well, a couple things are going on here. Are we still in the podcast? Is this going to go in our episode?
Yeah, we're totally in the podcast. We're talking about this with our, because I think it'd be interesting for our listeners on this. I think this is a really interesting pull back the curtain. How do we blow this podcast up?
So I think the relatable thing about your idea, Max, for this sort of, does anyone listen to this? Or does an ad like this ever send anyone to a podcast they weren't already listening to or wasn't recommended by a friend maybe? I think that's relatable. Everybody hears ads all the time and they're just like, oh yeah, It's like I don't listen to any. I've never listened to a pod that I've heard an ad for. Mm-hmm. So I think the relatability of that, like almost like a stand up bit where it's like, oh, yes, I do lose a sock every time mm-hmm. I do the laundry. You know what I mean? There's something maybe there. But to Shane's point, how do we craft a perfect 30 seconds mm-hmm. that embodies that?
Because I think that the banter of us working through this thing, if we were to write it properly.
The banter of us, another almost name for this podcast.
No, that's not true, right?
No.
Okay. I'm so stupid. I think that, you know, if we were right, it would capture the spirit of the best hang, and maybe someone would go, oh, that's actually kind of clever. What do you think, Shane?
What about endorsements from either fans, people who have listened? What if we ask a bunch of people to call in and leave an endorsement? Tell them what they like best about the podcast.
And then we do an edit.
What if some of the people are famous, like Will Forte
and yeah. Jim Cregan.
Yeah, it's Will Forte, Jim Cregan, and Nick Nurse.
Sarah of Sarah and Tegan. Just basically anyone you've seen in the last week or two. Let's get them on. Let's get them to vouch for the pod.
I don't hate that idea either, Shane. This is actually a good brainstorm. I mean, I don't know if the celebrity part would work, but you know, people could record on their voice note. Being like, this is why I listen to you. You do hear those testimonials sometimes, but hearing different voices is kind of good. But I do think if you were to, back to my original idea, guys, not to give up on this quite yet.
Yes.
I think if you were to execute some funny joke and then, Mike comes back with another quip and we wrap it up with a bow, it's like, and then like with a sting, like, listen to the best hang, blah, 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 whatever. I think that could be good because people would be like, oh, these people are self-aware. They have a good sense of humor. They know ads never work, but maybe it's so clever that people would tune in.
Don't know if that's enough. It could work though. Might just be crazy enough to work.
Do you have any other ad ideas for this trailer thing, Shane?
No, I'm trying to think. Like, you know how they recently made the new guidelines for drinking? It went from you could have 25 drinks in a week to two in a week.
Yeah.
Which I want to get Mike's opinion on that, but they had funny interviews that went viral, and the interviews of people being asked about it almost got the story out more than the story itself. And it's just like
the Hamilton guy, toothless dude. Yeah.
Oh, was he toothless? I just saw.
He's missing a tooth. Missing a tooth.
Was it a guy? He was a little bit larger, and he was like, two drinks a week. He's like, can I drink 2 liters of pop a week? And he was going
guy. I saw that.
He's from Hamilton.
Oh, okay, that's awesome. That was hilarious. I watched that the other day for the first time.
He was an amazing character. Oh my god.
All of them were pretty good. That he stood out a lot.
What if we?
Yeah.
What if we got him? And he just talks about how the best hang only comes out once a week, but that's not enough.
Yeah.
He really wants more.
So that was basically,
is that where you're going with this?
Like, get something like that with a funny person like that.
Yeah, I wonder if that'll come and go too quickly, though. It's like too niche, and then in 2 weeks people won't know.
What if we just get a doctor to recommend the best hang once a week?
Oh, that's interesting. Like Surgeon General.
So he just does the ad. Exactly. Like 1 out of 10 doctors agrees you need to listen to the best hang. I mean,
how do we know it's a doctor?
But we don't.
It could just be you, Mike. They haven't listened to the show. They don't know if you're a doctor or not.
I'm a doctor, Harvey Feisty. Let's just get Max to do it in his LA voice.
I don't know what you're talking about, you guys. Okay. Well, anyway, I just wanted to throw.
But here's the main question: do we have a deliverable for Acast yet? Is that an ad?
You know, we could just splice what we just recorded 5 minutes ago and just give it to them, see what they say. I don't hate that.
Yeah, best hang released from Acast contract.
But let's talk about the drink thing. What do we make of that, guys?
I want to know, and maybe someone has the answer to this. Okay, so they say 2 drinks a week on average is the new health guideline. Now, if you don't drink for a month, does that mean the next month you get to have 8 more drinks that month? Or if you don't drink for 2 months, like is it a cumulative? Do you gain to binge drink on certain nights if you've been a good boy or girl?
So like on Christmas Eve, you haven't had a drink all year and you're like, I get to have whatever the math is.
Yeah, you know, Texas Mickey.
32 beers.
Yeah. But
Texas Mickey.
But no, like within reason, like you still want to live, obviously. Like ridiculous questions aside, you just get to drink more than 2 beers.
The one thing I liked about that Hamilton dude's sort of, I guess, analogous, like the fact that he compared it to Leaders of Pop is like,
leaning into crazy Hamilton guys. The one thing I do agree with,
you know, thought he made a good point.
I don't think he was crazy. Well, it's like
the sort of point about all this other damaging shit we put in our bodies, like pop and all of these things, although, you know, Coca-Cola wants a sponsor, we're here. It's like, okay, so alcohol, and by the way, I get it, because aside from just the damage that alcohol does to you, it impairs your brain. You know, when they say like you're more likely to die, I think that also, I know it does because I looked, includes like accidents, you know, things that could happen while you're drunk, you know, not just like the slow death that alcohol does to your internal organs. But you know, it's interesting. Danica and I were talking about this as well. It's like, it would seem that drinking with younger people is going the way of like smoking with our generation.
Really?
Like a bunch of us, we didn't smoke because like, it was like our parents smoked. And then it was like, you know, maybe we dabbled in high school a little bit or on pub crawls. As Shane looks super cool if you go and look at our Instagram grid. But it's like we, a bunch of our generation got out of the sort of smoking thing because it was like, it was no longer cool James Dean style. It was like, we knew it kind of ruined you, the smell, it kind of all the negative things that came along with smoking, we all sort of recognized and embraced in our generation. Right. Alcohol, it would seem for younger people, that's not their thing. I think you can see studies now, like Gen Z and all that. They're not drinking the way that like we drank to party. And I don't know if it's because they've seen other generations do it, they just don't find it cool, or they're just going the opposite way. But there's something interesting about alcohol consumption in general and it becoming like, I don't know, like the glamour of it, if there is any.
What are they doing to party now? What do they do?
I don't know.
Psilocybin or whatever's in mushrooms. Yeah.
Oh yeah,
they're like, they're all like a microdosing and shit.
But no one knows the answer to the question that I initially posed, right? Like
which was it?
It was you abstain from drinking,
yeah,
your two drinks per week, is it a cumulative? Can you pass that over to the next month?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, I didn't know. I don't see why not.
I mean, listen, like, well, because how much can you really drink in one sitting? Like, so if you don't drink all year, like Max says, and then it's
no, but
Christmas Eve.
I was saying within reason. So let's say when you go out to party, let's just say you have 10 drinks and it's you get really kind of inebriated. Can you have 10 drinks safely 3 weekends in December if you've been a good boy or girl all year and haven't really come close to the 2 drinks per week? I wonder if it's on average or it's just like, no, you missed your opportunity. I wonder if you don't know, but that's interesting.
I think it's you missed your opportunity. I think, you know? It's like, it's also like, it's so nebulous. Like these, like what are these guidelines anyway? Like I guess that's my point. It's all, everything's killing us all the time. So it's just like 2 drinks, 25 drinks.
Yeah. But yeah. I think people want to know what's within healthy. Cause you're kind of taking that guy's stance. Like, oh, so what? I can eat 5 pizzas now. I can have 5 pizzas and that's better than drink. Like no one's saying that, sir. We're staying on topic. It's just about drinking.
No one's saying anyone can or can't do anything anyway. Like that's the thing. Like there's no rules.
But to be healthy, like if thing, your you know goal I mean? In life is to be healthy, they're the experts telling you what you need to do if you want to be within a reasonable amount of health, right? That's the point where it used to be like you could have a glass of wine every night and it worked out to be better than if you abstained from drinking at all. That there was that
I'd theory. Love to know if that, that is like where that came
I
from.
If that's true anymore.
I don't even know if that's true. Yeah. It's just, it's caught fire. And now we just all accept it as like a fact from like somebody everything. Somewhere.
Like, you know, this in next year, it could change and who knows what's behind these things, but the purpose of them is so for the people who actually care what is healthy, they can follow that if they're big rule followers. I think probably if I don't overdo it, I can have a reasonably healthy life if I do everything in moderation.
Yeah, it's also kind of what works for you too.
That's what I mean.
Broadly speaking, it's like the less you drink, the better. There's some people who can drink a lot regularly and it kind of doesn't affect them and they are totally functioning. There's some people that have like a little bit to drink and they're knocked out for the next day and they become total assholes. So yeah, where they land at two a week.
The rule, basically, the Hamilton guy's point, he's like,
what's the point?
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. The rule is essentially, if you're getting drunk, you're doing it wrong. You're overdoing it. And by the way, that tracks.
Unless you weigh 80
pounds. You might also say zero. That's true. One drink or two. Exactly. Right. And I used to be a server and I did take Smart Serve. And I remember there was math involved in sort of, if you're like a bartender and you're serving a man or a woman, you're supposed to size them up and try to guesstimate their weight. And that actually dictate how many drinks.
Excuse me, sir. I'm looking at 175.
Yeah. Oh, I remember we were, I was like a waiter at this one establishment and they basically like, they like fake passed us all. Like the woman gave us all the answers to the tests. Mm. But I just remember being like, I got to do math on how much somebody weighs and then how many drinks I can serve somebody. And it's different for a man and a woman. Anyway, long story long is it's like, it seems so, it's silly to me that it's even two drinks a week. And it's just like no drinks is healthy. And that's just the answer, it would seem. And then we all know that if you're getting drunk, then that's bad.
Yeah.
You know,
like the less the better.
That's kind of the line. Exactly.
Yeah. Should just be the worst. Like, you know, the less the better. Because when you don't drink, you'll wake up and you'll be more productive the next day and your moods swings won't be as bad and you'll be more leveled out probably.
Yeah. And you know, it's just like, I think it's one of those great stories. Like when like whoever, I don't even know who the health authority is or whatever, Surgeon General that comes out with the recommended sort of drink intake. Mm-hmm. But again, it's like, it's recommended and, but it just seems so like obvious to me. Like, I don't know who's like, listens to that, to your point, Shane, like mm-hmm. if somebody's trying to be reasonably healthy, if they're like, actually I can have my two glasses of wine a week and I'm within my sort of parameters of health. It's like either you drink or you don't drink.
To me,
you
know, it doesn't even seem obvious because I would have thought five drinks a week might be very conservative. To me, that might be the more obvious. And then you could use those five drinks all on a Friday night. But this almost seems like don't drink at all. So it's a more salacious story. Five would be like, okay, I got to use my drinks wisely when I do it. If I really want to feel a little inebriated. But now it's like you're all saying, if I had a beer right now, I would feel like shit by six. I'd want to go to bed by 6 p.m. There'd be no point in drinking it. I'd just be doing it to look cool.
The more fun conversation is, when is drinking and smoking really cool to you? Like for instance, like when you're in Europe and you're like around young people and like, you know, Lisbon or something like that, and they're all smoking cigarettes. Like, I'm like, I love this. If anyone smokes a cigarette near me in North America, I'm like, fuck off. I don't want to be near you. I hate cigarettes. But if you're like in Berlin, it's so cool. Right.
And like, that's so
just,
funny.
There's just sometimes like drinking is so off putting and so gross to me. And then there's other times where I'm just like, love it. You need to be cracking a beer right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Cigarettes, like I have to joke smoke. I wouldn't know how to seriously smoke a cigarette. It's always joke smoking and to some extent joke drinking. It's hard to take it seriously, but I guess it could look cool.
Smoking a cigarette, as we know, by the way.
Yes. Very, very cool. Yes. You have video proof of that.
Hey, what else is going on, guys? Anything else? Watch anything good? Anything getting you excited?
I did read a story that I thought was interesting that could lead to a larger question. Please. For a topic. As you know, we sort of touched a bit on the Beatles and how I go on these rabbit holes. This isn't going to become a Beatles podcast, trust me. Okay. But I'll just set this story up with the Beatles story. Mm-hmm. The Beatles were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1988. So they were going to have George, Ringo, and Paul show up, accept the honor. It's going to be the first time the three of them had been like on a stage together since, you know, they were on the rooftop together in 1969, et cetera, et cetera. Huge honor. Also that night, it was like Bob Dylan went in, the Beach Boys went in, the Supremes went in. Mm. It was like a crazy class, like one of those Hall of Fame things. Long story long, Paul and George and Ringo are in some sort of weird lawsuit. They're in some sort of litigation about song royalties. It's this weird thing. And George and Ringo are like, yeah, we're going to go. And Paul is trying to like, I guess, resolve this thing. He's pissed off about this lawsuit. So he's seething. He's like, I don't think I'm going to go. I don't think I'm going to go to this thing. I can't do it. And right up into it, I guess his wife, Linda, Paul's wife, Linda McCartney, was like, go. You have to go. You're going to regret it if you don't go to this thing. It's like all these legends in one room. It's George. It's Ringo. It's like, you know, just go. You're going to regret it. And Paul's like, no. Paul releases a statement the day up to the LA Times that says something like, I'm not going to attend. I'm in a litigation with George and Ringo. And I would feel like a hypocrite if I got up there and waved and smiled and accepted an award on the same stage as them. Whatever. Mm-hmm. Just this kind of like petty and honestly, very, very temporary situation that isn't bigger than that moment and what they created together and all those people being in that room at that one time. this article I read said that Paul would go on to regret it. Linda was 100% right. He should have gone. She tried to convince him. She knows him best. And then the Hall of Fame was pissed at him. It took him another 5 years or whatever. It took him five different tries to get in as a solo artist, which is crazy. Paul McCartney's one of the most successful solo. Yeah. So the Hall was kind of like, fuck you after that. Then there's a whole other thing where Mike Love from the Beach Boys gave some crazy, like, drunk uncle speech that he called out like Mick Jagger and Paul McCartney, all these people. It was a wild night. It was a very fun rabbit hole to go down. Do it if you want. My question is, do you guys ever have a situation where it's like you pettily are like you're being petty. I don't know if pettily is a word. Mm-hmm. You're being petty and you're like, fuck it. I'm not going to do that. And then you don't do it. And then you've sort of been like, what was I thinking? Or have you gone to the point in your life where you can sort of get over maybe like what you're feeling in the immediacy of it to be like, no, I need to do that. Like, say it's a family member you feuded with and you don't want to go to Christmas, but then you show up. You always end up being happy you went to the mm-hmm. Christmas, because again, mm-hmm. as we know, George Harrison dies 12 years later. They're never on, you know what I mean? Like, they did the anthology, all this stuff. That room is never going to happen again mm-hmm. with Mick Jagger inducting them and all that. And he let this one moment kind of ruin that night. And by the way, George, who's hilarious, in an interview afterwards said, he goes, it's a shame Paul does things like that. He's like, he only hurts himself. We didn't miss him. It was a great party. And it's, you know, which is just
it's
so funny.
It's a shame he does things like that.
Yeah. He only
so
hurts
much
himself.
Is said in that one sentence. Yeah. Oh God.
Yeah. We had a great party. It was a great party. Yeah. That's what he said. Oh
God. You know, okay. Well, one thing is I always find it's very hard to put yourself in someone else's shoes. And there's a lot of instances that I'm like, where I kind of am bewildered at somebody else's decision. And then maybe I become that person 5 years later and go, oh, you know what? I kind of get why they did that. Like, there's probably some instances of like bands and related to like money and stuff like that, or like spending, how you choose like to tour and stuff like that. And I remember being a younger band going like, this seems opulent. This seems stupid. And then you get to that point and you're like, oh no, it actually totally makes sense. And I understand now why they would choose to, like, okay, a real example. I thought it was ridiculous that any bandmate wouldn't, that they'd ask for your own room at a hotel. I'm like, why would you spend, if you know, room 15 rooms when you could have 8 rooms? You know, there's two beds in the room, just share the room. You guys are, think of all the money you're wasting all year long. And then you go on tour for long enough and you're like, you know what? I kind of need my own room. I need to get away from it. So I understand that. That said though, I really try my best to keep everything in like, are you healthy? Like, and is your family healthy? Are you healthy? Everything else is all silly and fun and games. And not to say that there aren't like real grievances or real grudges, but I try my best just to, if you're lucky enough to have like such a, like a career as a musician and have any level of fame or success, it's like everything else is just kind of gravy. So like, don't be a petty person. That's where I try to go. What about you, Shane?
There's this one time when Alex wanted me to go to a pop-up shop in Limeridge Mall. Her friend owns a barbershop and I didn't want to go. I'm just like, I don't, you're going to leave me alone with potentially my hairdresser. And I'm not comfortable. Like, he's like me. He's not, he wasn't great at being social. So sometimes if he's cutting my hair, we can sit in silence, but I'm like, don't leave me with this person. So she promised me she wouldn't. She goes, I doubt he's even there. I don't want to go, but I go. I try to like get over my fear. Sure enough, she leaves me. And then my hairdresser's there. And we had the most awkward 10 minutes of my life. I've never forgotten it. And I just wish I never went. I think about it often. I bring it up to Alex if we're having an argument. I'll bring it up. I'm like, remember that time you left me? So it seems like nothing, but I really wish I didn't go to that. Because it, you know, those moments, those icky moments where you just think of a cringeworthy moment you had in your life and sometimes you just ruminate on it. I go back to that one often and I wish I didn't have that. That's it.
There, if we're speaking about moments, I don't know if I've ever told this story. Let's just talk about some of our cringiest moments. Mm-hmm. That's kind of entertaining. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know.
Like 10 a day. Yeah.
I was young. I was like 23, 24. I don't know. And I'd, based on like sort of like a music, like a demo that I'd had, there was a music label, like a major music label that had me like basically in to show them songs I'd written. They were like, oh, like we're interested in these songs that you write or whatever. And so like I literally didn't have that many songs. They had sort of what they'd heard on the demo, and then I had like, I don't know, like a bunch, but not like a ton that I could just be like, sit down and let me play you like my 12 best songs. So I kind of like go through like three on an acoustic guitar. And then I'm like I kind of give them what I wanted to present. And then the head of the guy, the main guy that was head of this publishing company that was part of the label, he's like, well, do you got anything more? And I was like, instead of just being like, that's the best I got, but you know, I'm writing all the time and maybe we can, whatever, giving some line. I'm such like a people pleaser. Like I feel like I have to say, well, yeah. So I go, I got this one that I like wrote in high school. It's so dumb. And it was like a joke song. And it had all the fucking, it had the F word in it, like a bunch. And it was such a stupid fucking song. And I could just feel
like you said the F word, but then you're actually slurring.
I still cringe because there was other people that were like established writers on that roster. And they're like, oh, come in and see Mike play. And so we're all in a room. And then when he put me on the spot, I play this dumb, like it was kind of Adam Sandler-y, but I was presenting it almost in a way that wasn't. And I could just feel the room like turn. And this was literally like years ago. And sometimes it still pops up in my dreams, that moment where it was like, what was the lesson there? Just say, no, I don't have any more songs. Like, don't try and pull some unrehearsed bullshit out of your ass. And I still have like, that is like a moment where I like, that was like a self defeat. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I just was like, what were you doing? And I remember walking away from there and just being like, that was really dumb.
Yeah. I'm trying to, whenever possible, if I have a moment like that, like I was telling about a security guard story where I asked him how to pronounce his name.
Paragon.
And I thought his name was Paragon or something, but that was just the name of his security uniform. That was like the name of the company. And I thought that was his name. So I asked him how to pronounce it. He said his name was James. And I just felt terribly awkward, but I was cycling this every day. I think about it once. And I thought, I'm going to approach him and tell him why I acted so weird that day. And then I did just 2 days ago. I did.
Oh, how did it go?
Great. I tell him, I'm like, James, you're probably wondering why I asked how to pronounce your name. And your name is James. It's because, see this badge? And he was standing right there. I touched his badge. You see, oh, that's his Paragon. I go, I'm so stupid. I thought that was your name. And I was scared to say it out loud all these years. So that's why I've never said your name. And I took the risk. And that's why. And he laughed his ass off.
There you go.
And we had that great moment. And now that is out of my memory as a bad moment or a cringeworthy. And it's been replaced by a good moment.
Max, do you have any cringe moments?
I think part of my success is I forget them really quickly.
I don't even know they're cringy.
Yeah. I just laugh at them and I'm just like, moving on. Who cares? Like, it's all kind of funny to me. I just texted Ash. I'm like, Ash, remind me of some cringe moments. And I wonder if she'll yeah, I don't know.
She's got six pages of notes for you.
Okay, the one thing, okay, we'll wrap up on this, is that speaking of like comedy people, I like three, four years ago, I presented at for Tessa Virtue Scott Moyer at the Cannons Walk of Fame. I was like the person who inducted them. And I've told the story on the podcast, but real quick, before the show begins, Seth Rogen and Evan, his writing partner, they're getting ready because they're like kind of opening the show. They're about to go on stage because they're getting an award. They have to deliver a speech and they're the comedy guys and they're performers and they want to like nail it and they're in the zone. And basically like I backstage, I just walk up to them. I've told you this story, right?
No, maybe. I don't remember.
I'm blanking on it, but I do recall.
So basically, like, it's basically the equivalent of like moments before our Kells go on stage, right? And when we're like moments before we go on stage, it's like we're in the zone. We're ready to go. Like, everyone, please fuck off. So then I just go, I'm like, hey guys, how's it going? They kind of like look at me like, yeah. I'm like, didn't want to really bother you, but get time for a quick photo. And then just goes, not now, and walks away.
Well, you just reminded me of your Shania Twain story, which or Sheryl Crow, I mean.
Sheryl Crow.
Sheryl Crow. Sheryl Crow. Yes.
Yeah, that was a good one, dude.
You got it. You have a Max. But you don't carry those around with you, though. You don't carry that weight with you.
Yeah, I don't. Okay, let's wrap it up. We got to go.
Well, that's it. That's all. That's our episode. One day we will come up with a good ad for Acast.
I think that's a good ad. I think we just cut the 30 seconds that we just did in real time to see what the thing.
Okay.
Let's do it.
We'll tag it with that sell job there. I think it's a good ad. All right. That's it. That's all this episode. Thank you to Nathan Nash for putting it all together. Thank you to Manager Ash for everything that she does. Guys, this is a good hang. Maybe the best.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.